Welcome to Global Outreach Community Church, where we proclaim and demonstrate the love of God through Christ. Now, from the Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas, here is Pastor Anderson with today's message.
Praise and worship style. But I want to develop a church that we're not just geared to one way of worshiping God. Because there are so many ways to worship the Savior. And truth be told, we all have a preference. We all have a preference as it comes to the kingdom. But don't allow your preference to stop you from celebrating your holy king. So there was a reason why Ms. Jemison is slowing us down, going back to some traditional songs and Psalms 100. I hope that this will minister to your hearts today, so allow me as pastor just to deviate from our normal service. Very familiar passage, Psalms 100. And if you see what's called the superscription, it's a psalm of thanksgiving. And the superscription will always communicate to you what the psalm is about. So in Psalm 100, it says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving." Did you notice it didn't say whatever song you prefer? If it's upbeat, if it's contemporary, if it's traditional, if it's Kirk Franklin, or if it's Toby Mac. He said, I don't care how you come into those gates, you need to come with thanksgiving. And into his court with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. So our subject this morning is a call to praise and worship. Just a call to praise and worship. So again, if you look at this psalm, it is a psalm of thanksgiving. And the word thanksgiving in Hebrew literally means to confess, or it's a confession. So whenever you come to give God thanks, you are confessing to God that you are grateful that you belong to him. That you are grateful for the things that he is doing in your life. That you are grateful for all the things that he has bestowed or given to you. And that's thanksgiving. Understanding that your situation does not determine how you give thanks. But thanksgiving comes from an inner sense of understanding that you can be grateful no matter what state you find yourself in. So it's a confession. And here these congregants are coming together to worship God. This is a worship hymnic. And they're coming together to worship God for God's goodness and for God's covenant relationship with him. Today, understand that at the point that you receive Christ into your life, not necessarily into your heart, but into your life, and he changes your life, you have a covenant relationship with him. And you owe it to God to give him thanks. You owe it to God to give him praise. And it doesn't matter if you stand alone and by yourself, you understand that if it had not been for God on your side, where would you be? So every time you get into those courts and you come into those gates, you just want to praise God for his goodness. So I'm digging in this morning because I want the church to understand there's nothing wrong with clapping your hands. There's nothing wrong with saying, amen, pastor. Can I make a little joke? When you say amen to an African-American pastor, it's like saying sick 'em to a dog. When you say amen to me, I want to go deeper. So I don't mind you saying amen when I preach, because when you say amen, I'm saying they with me. But when you don't say amen, I said I need to dig in a little bit more. I know it's preference, but I want to train and develop a church that you don't mind giving God thanksgiving. So as we walk through the Psalms, you're going to discover that the worshipers are singing with joy and high praise. So I want you to put yourself into their position. They are now going into Jerusalem, going to the temple to worship God, and they are thanking God for all the good things that God has done for them. So this morning, can I just slow down a little bit and just sit right here? On your way here, you should have been thinking about all the good things God had done for you this week. How he saved you, how he held you, how he delivered you. If you're like me, every now and then, I have walked in the house and left my keys in the door. And I get up in the morning, I'm looking for my keys, and guess where my keys are? Outside in the door. Somebody could have came in, stole everything I had, killed my family, all that. But when I think about that, when I come in here, I want to give God thanksgiving. I want to praise God because God is so good. So these worshipers are going to Jerusalem and they realize the goodness of God. So this is a call to worship, and it's twofold. The first one is, come worship with gladness, that every time you come in here, that you shouldn't allow nothing to distract you from worshiping God. But when you come with gladness, not with a sad face, not with your lips stuck out, but with gladness. So that's the first one. The second one is that you enter the worship with gratitude. You can't pay God for how good God has been to you. So now God is calling us to praise and worship. So this morning, I want you to receive the call, because as God is calling you, pastor's calling you every Sunday morning, that when you come in, you hit those doors, be ready for worship. Be ready to say amen. Be ready to stand. Be ready to lift your hands. And I hear you, pastor, I don't worship like that. However you choose to worship, I want to encourage you to worship. But don't be scared to get up and to clap your hands and to put a smile on your face. And if you don't know what scared is, don't be scared. Because we serve a God who is good. So in this Psalms, if I just slow down, I want you to, I'm big. I bought a new Bible yesterday. My old Bible my wife got on me is falling apart. But I love it because I use it all the time. So in this Bible, there are seven imperatives that I want you to underline. An imperative is only a command. It's like a request. And these seven imperatives are in the imperative mood. It's just a command. So here's number one. He says, shout, underline that. Two, serve. Three, come. Four, know. Five, enter. Six, give thanks. And seven, bless. That the psalmist is commanding you every time you hit those courts, and every time that you come into the gates, and every time we get to worship together, we are to shout, we are to serve, we are to come, we need to know, meaning to acknowledge, we are to enter, we are to give thanks, and we are to bless. How many times have you failed to come in and to bless God with the fruits of your lips? How many times do you come and just sit on God, but God will never sit on you? Because when you call him, he is always there. When you call him, he responds to your call. When you need something, he is there. And that's why we come to shout. That's why we come to serve. That's why we come. That's why we enter. That's why we give thanks. And that's why we bless God. So can we walk through the Psalms? First verse, it says, shout joyfully to the Lord. That means to come triumphantly, to make a vocal noise, to shout. Now, when I grew up in the church, coach shout me, we shouting. That's not necessarily what he's saying. What he's saying is to open your mouth and verbalize through your thanksgiving how much you love God. And when you open your mouth and you raise your hands, you are shouting to your king. Because in the Old Testament, when the king came in, the servants would get up and they would shout. They would acknowledge him. And every time you come, you need to acknowledge God because he's your king. And you need to clap your hands. There's nothing wrong with lifting your hands because he is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords. So that word, shout, it means to give a glad shout, to give a blast as if you're blowing a trumpet. So when we come, the psalmist is literally saying we can blast, that we can make a noise with the words that are coming from our mouth. So I want to encourage you, every time you show up Sunday morning, be ready to shout. Be ready to give glad tidings. But it doesn't start in the church, it starts at home. that when I got up at 5 o'clock, I was ready to praise God. I was ready to give him thanksgiving because I thought about my week and how far God has carried me. And because he has carried me all through the week, I'm ready to praise him. So worship should be the center. It should be the center of when we come together. So when we come together to worship, our agenda is to meet God. That as much as I love Erica, I'm not coming to meet Erica. Now, you're a bad girl in respect to your husband, but I'm not coming to meet you. I'm coming to meet God because I want to meet God because God is the center of my agenda. And when I come to meet God, his agenda is to meet me. And when I meet God and God meets me and God kisses me, that's all I need for the whole week. It's just a kiss from my God. Have you ever thought about this? I've attended so many funerals in the last 21 years. 21 years of ministry. From a six-month-old, I would say baby, but it was a hard funeral. Because the mother had the embryo or the little baby at 6 months and the casket open. And even after counseling, we suggested not to do that because it's hard. She still had it. And as I'm reading the scripture here, you have this little baby, this embryo, and you're trying to concentrate. That's hard. That's morbid. That's a sense of sadness. That's grief. But the psalmist says the church service is not a funeral. Because in funerals, you have mixed emotions depending on how they lived. In some funerals, you know if they live like your mother, it's a celebration. She's going home not just to be with her husband, but she's going home to be with Jesus. So you celebrated that although you mourned. But that little six-month-old baby, that embryo, was tough. The funeral I preached when a young man was just turning 18 and got the back of his head blown off over shooting dice, that was tough. But God is saying when you come to worship, your worship is not a funeral, it's a celebration. So you have to understand this is not a dead time, but a time of celebration, a time of joy, a time of reflection, and a time of self-evaluation. That as I'm worshiping God, I'm also doing some self-evaluation in my life. And I've been honest with myself in the good, the bad, and the ugly. That when I'm not doing what God has called me to do, I still have to give thanks that the Holy Spirit is revealing and convicting me that I need to turn in another direction, that I need to go straight, that I need to leave him alone, I need to leave her alone, I need to pick up and move forward, because some people that you're dealing with are only there to hold you back. And God wants to push you forward, but you're hanging around the wrong people at college, on your job, and God is saying, no, stop trying to hang on to what I'm trying to take out. You show me your friends, I'll show you who you are. The worshipers. So they're coming. They're coming. So when you come before God, you ought to come with a joyful shout, with a praise of thanksgiving. And your praise is personal, but it's also specific. That it is a personal praise, but it's a corporate praise. That I can't praise God for Mr. Walker. He has to praise God for himself. But what I can do is praise God corporately, and when I'm praising as pastor on the front row, and when you see me raise your hand, you're saying if the pastor can praise God, I can praise God. There's a reason why I'm praising God and I'm standing here. Now, most of us that grew up in an African-American church, here's what happens. The service starts, and where's the pastor? He's in the back. I'm not against that. Preference. But I want to see the church see the pastor worship. Because although we have Ms. Jemison and we have Ms. Crystal, the biggest worshiper should be the pastor. And if you can see the leader worshiping, it ought to encourage you that, man, if the pastor can worship, my God, I know that I can worship. So it's personal, but I'm worshiping because it's corporate. And when you see the pastor and leaders worship, man, it puts a demand on you to worship. So he says, shout not to the pastor, but to the Lord, all the earth. That's the corporate. It's all of us. But then he moves from that and he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Do you know that part of worshiping is serving God? That when you serve God, you're also praising and worshiping God in a different format. So this morning, I got here. And this place was awful. I didn't find out we were going to be here until yesterday. And normally I check on Wednesdays. And Wednesday was just busy this whole week. So I found out yesterday we're in the chapel. I got here this morning, ice cream and stuff all on the floor. They had a party, it was dirt everywhere. The chairs were all in the corner. So I took my time, I just started sweeping. God, I just thank you for a building. God, it's dirty in here, and my helpers are out of town, but I thank you that I have limbs that I can sweep. I thank you that I have mobility that I can sweep. So I started sweeping everything, and then I went and got the mop. God, just thank you that I'm able to mop. Now, God, this water is dirty. I wish it was clean. But, God, I just thank you for the ability to mop. And then I put the mop up, and it was beer bottles and trash. I picked up all the beer bottles. Just me. I'm not. Hear my heart. My heart is why we worship. I'm picking up all the trash in the beer bottles, putting them in the trash can. God, thank you that although they had a good time last night, I'm going to have a good time this morning. And I don't need beer, and I don't need liquor to have a good time. I'm not against that. God, the good time starts in my heart. So I'm putting all this stuff. Then I put down the chairs. God, thank you. I don't know how many people are going to be here, but I'm going to put down 60 chairs. And whoever show up, they're going to get the word, and we're going to worship. So here's a chair. I move from that to setting all this stuff up. What I'm trying to tell you, I could have been foul. I could have been mad. I could have been mean. I could have said, man, all my help is gone. No, my help is above. And I am grateful for chairs. I'm grateful for a podium. I'm grateful for a piano. I'm grateful for people. It's all about your perspective. And when you serve, you worship God through your serving. Y'all forgive me. I'm excited this morning. I'm excited because I realize God is just so good to us. So he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. So that word come is a command and a divine invitation. Put that there so they can get it. It's a command and it's a divine invitation. That God is inviting you into worship. He's inviting you to join. He's inviting you to celebrate. He's inviting you to take part in everything that he is doing here in the earth. He's inviting you. So this morning, can you receive the invitation? Come praise him. Come give thanksgiving. But then he moves from that to the third verse. He says, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So I underline the word no. Okay, you're telling me acknowledge, but what am I to acknowledge? I underline Lord himself. Because in other words, I didn't make me. That in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, I understand that it was God who made me. That it was God who stooped down and he took dust and he formed the image of a man, and he blew the nephesh, that's the Hebrew word for breath. He blew the breath of life into the man, and the man became a living soul, and everything that I am and everything that I could be comes from God. And I understand he made me, and I didn't make myself. So I'm his sheep, and I'm in his pasture. Don't miss this. When you're God's sheep, it's God's job to take care of you. It's the shepherd's job to lay down his life for the sheep. And you are in his pasture and he feeds you, Psalms 23, with green grass. That the grass is fruitful. And anytime you want to put your neck down as a sheep and you have a little neck, you can eat everything that God needs. That's why I acknowledge him, because he is the one that provides. So he made us, not we ourselves. Thank God that he made us. God alone is worthy to be praised. So notice this before we move. The word Lord is capitalized. There's a reason why. There are times it's capital L, lowercase O-R-D, or it's all caps. The reason why is because it means Yahweh, the self-existent one, the eternal one, the one who is I am, Elohim, the mighty God. That's who we celebrate. That you celebrate a mighty God who is mighty in battle. But at least I hold you too long. Look at verse 4. He says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Did you notice verse 4? He says, enter into worship with gratitude. gratitude. Last Sunday, celebrated my mother's 66th birthday. My parents been married 49 years. Man, I'm excited that if God allows them to get to 50, woo, that's gonna be a celebration. I'm gonna do it big for my parents. I don't know what big means, but I wanna do something big for them. But when I went to pick up my mother, it took my mother literally 30 minutes to get from her bedroom to the car. So instead of me pulling in the driveway, I just did a parallel park to the driveway. And my dad said, I got it. So I watched my mom, I timed her. 30 minutes. She got to the car, and she was confused on how to get to the car because she was in so much pain. The right side of her body is swollen, but she wants to go celebrate 66 years. So she finally gets to the car and she tries to get in and couldn't remember which leg to put in first. So I said, Mom, just take your left leg and put it in. But when she sat back, she fell back and started crying. That hurt me, because I remember when my mother was vibrant, that it was nothing, she would get in the car. So finally, after 30 minutes, she got in the car, we headed to Papa's. My dad was just walking around lost. And every time I said, Dad, I need your help. I got it, son. He's just walking around lost because his memory is starting to fade. He has good days and bad days. So when we pull up to Papa's, my dad looks at it. Oh, I know him. That's Melvin. Dad, I need you to help me get Mom out the car. No, I'm going to talk to Melvin. He gets out and runs across the parking lot to go talk to Melvin. So I said, no worries. I got Mom out the car, rolled into Papa's, and I told my wife, I said, for the first time, I realized that Mom is sick. Man, I've been knowing this, Erica, but I said, man, her eyes are so yellow. Stuff is just running out of her eyes. I said, man, Mama's sick. Got her back in the car and went home. Got in the house, and I told my wife, I'm just drained. I went home, and I went to sleep. But I got up the next day, and I thought about the goodness of God. And I thought about that He gave me another day with Mama. And although Mama's steps were slow, and although Mama is swollen, and her eyes are yellow, and her hair is gray, she still has breath in her lungs. So I guard everything that's in me, that although Mom and Dad is struggling, He is still allowing them to be on this side of heaven. Because when they're gone, I'm understanding they're gone, and you don't get a second chance. So that's why you celebrate God every single day for every single blessing, for every single gift, for every single talent, for your wife, for your friends, for your job, for your money, for your shoes, for your tie, for your eyeglasses. I can keep going on. For your socks. Thank God for what He gives you. So that's why we enter the gates with thanksgiving and to the courts with praise. The gates. Follow me. Here's the gates. Here's the gates. I'm the worshiper going into Jerusalem. And the gates are on the outer court. So I got to get to the gates to get into the inner court. But when I come into the gates, I already come with thanksgiving. So as I'm making my way through the gates, I'm coming to sit down in the court. Because I moved from the gates, the outside, to the courts on the inside. And I understand it's a symbolism of moving just a little bit closer to God. That when I come through the gates and I get to the courts, I am locked in and focused on giving God all the praise that He deserves. Praise. But then it's worship. And I'm done. Watch this word worship. The word worship means to bow low, to prostrate, to kiss. That every time I come to worship and when I come to bless His name, I'm going to give thanks as I enter the gates and I get to the courts with praise because I'm bowing to a heavenly King. Verse 5, for the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. So here's the million-dollar question. Why do we praise Him? Why do we give thanks? Why do we worship him? Man, y'all intelligent church. Y'all ask good questions. Here's the answer. We praise him because his character is good. We praise him because everything he does is good. We praise him because his plans are good. We praise him because his purposes are good. We praise him because his provision is good. His protection is good. His pardons are good. His grace is good. Matter of fact, he gives good and perfect gifts. They are good. His timing is good. And what I love about God is that God is so good, even when your love changes for him, his love would never change for you. That's the goodness and the faithfulness of God that endures to all generations. So this morning, here's my challenge to you. What's going to stop you from praising God next Sunday? What's going to hold you back when your favorite song is not played next Sunday? That when you don't hear a traditional hymn or you don't hear your praise and worship, will you allow the organist to stop you? Because it's not about the worship leader, it's about you. See, their talents is given to them, but you can't let her talents play for you. And you can't let Miss J sing for you. You got to play and sing for yourself. And if you notice, Pastor, my voice is horrible. I've been taking vocal lessons for the last 4 or 5 years. I've been spending my money, and every now and then I can hit a good note. But most of the time, I'm going to miss it. You know why I'm not embarrassed? Because I'm not waiting for you to praise God. I praise God for what God has done for me. So what will you allow to stop you from praising God? Here's the second question. What prevents you from praising and worshiping the Lord with a joyful attitude? I'm slowing down because I want to close in the teaching mode. What prevents you from praising and worshiping God with a joyful attitude? And here's the last thing. List some of the typical things that you experience in your life that prevents you from praising and worshiping God. When you go home today, I want you to list the things that prevents you from praising and worshiping. Be honest with yourself. What is it? Is it that I'm distracted on my cell phone when I come? Is it that I'm looking at Facebook? Is it that I'm trying to tweet somebody? What prevents me? Am I too busy looking at what's going on? Yeah, they playing golf, but you know what? I can get out there when I'm done. I want you to be honest. I'm thinking about my work tomorrow, and when you are honest, do an adjustment, a call to praise and worship. Father, we thank you that you are literally calling us.
Thank you for listening. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at The Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas. Visit us online at www.globaloutreachcc.org. Remember, your life matters because it matters to Christ.